welcome to the Tunnel 7 podcast. This show is for clients, potential clients, and really anyone who is interested in making better decisions about their website. My name is Derek Allard, and I am a freelance website designer based in lovely East Hampton, Massachusetts. In each episode, I cover exactly one topic related to website design and explore it to provide insight, direction, and hopefully even some entertainment for my listening audience. I also have the soon-to-be-famous Tunnel 7 Q&A where I answer your questions. If you would like to send a question to be answered on the show, you can do so anytime at tunnel7.com/podcast and complete the Have a Question form. Okay, so this is now episode 8 of the Tunnel 7 podcast. And for those of you just joining us, the previous 7 episodes were actually part of a series talking about all the different things that go into making a successful website. So that series is now concluded, and now we're into the brave new world of whatever's next. So these episodes now are really just going to be on different topics that are website related, but they're not going to be part of a series, and there may be down the road another series, who knows. Anyway, today we are going to be talking about website marketing. Also on the show, we'll have some questions and answers as we always do. Actually, one of them is related to social media, which is one of the topics we'll be covering in website marketing. So look at how that all comes together. It's incredible. And finally, a recap of what's been going on here at Tunnel 7 in the last month. It's been a very busy month. In the last month, I've launched 2 projects. One is a redesign, realign for an existing client. This is actually the 3rd revision. It's misosuper.com, which is a shopping blog for a client. Check it out. She has a lot of really neat stuff on there. And it was fun to work on this 3rd round of revisions. I always tell people, make those incremental changes to the website as your priority shift, as your goal shift. And her website is a prime example of that. From version 1 to where we are now, there's a lot of different things that are happening. And that's because things change. Her advertising structure changed. We need to accommodate that. She wanted to highlight her social media links. We had to accommodate that. But that evolution has resulted in a much more refined website than the first version. And that's going to be the case, I think, with anyone. I mean, my website, the Tunnel 7 website, I've gone through, I think, 5 different versions of it in the last 7 years. And I don't even have a lot of time to devote to it, but I make sure to make a point of making sure it's current. Always a good thing. So I'm glad that that is out there. Client was happy. I'm happy. Everything is good. And her people who read it are happy. I also launched a website in conjunction with a local ad agency on a very, very, very tight deadline. I think we had about 2.5 weeks from start to finish, so it was a little stressful, but it came out well in the end, so that was good. I would tell you the website, but I have never really cleared it with them that I could mention it, so maybe on next month I will mention it. I've been doing some AdWords work for a few clients now. One of them is kind of a bigger project than the other 2 that are going on currently, and starting to see a lot of good results, which is great. I created a new landing page and revamped his AdWords campaigns completely. And in the first 3 weeks that it's been live, it received more click-throughs than his previous campaigns, which had the same budget, over 8 months. So it just goes to show you, I mean, AdWords, we're going to be talking a little bit about that during the show, but AdWords is nice, but it's one of those things you got to really stay on top of and be smart about. It's not just something you can throw out there and voila, because that's really what he did initially, and it was just a doomed failure. So you have to have some smarts about it. Make sure your landing page, I think that's a critical component. I think that's why we're doing so well with this revised version. So definitely that's good news for him, and I like to see my client succeed, so that's a good thing for me. I also did some website accessibility consulting work for a local company here in the past month, more small scale, just kind of pointing out what the standards are, things that you want to keep in mind with website accessibility. That was fun. I enjoyed that. The person I worked with is very easy to work with, so that was very good. And finally, there's a few other things, but I'm running a little long. So the last thing I will mention is I'm looking at teaching again in the spring, the same class I taught back in the winter. I think it was November I did that, my website marketing class, which actually ties into today's episode, coincidentally. But I've been talking to them about teaching that again in March, I believe. So if you're a local and you qualify for the Valley CDC help, I'd be happy to see you there. Okay, so that is the end of our recap, and let's go on to the Q&A. Okay, so the Q&A for this episode, where'd it go? It's here somewhere. All right, here we go. First question, what tools do you find best for laying out the visual architecture? Axure, iRise, Visio? Which one? And this is sent in by Mo in Toronto. For those of you who aren't quite sure what he's referring to with visual architecture, during the web design process, you go through this phase of kind of laying out the page without all the design elements. It's commonly referred to as a wireframe, just a real strip down. This is where your navigation will be. This is your content area. This is your action button, you know, these types of things. So Mo, actually, I've heard very good things about Axure. Of those three, I have used Visio at a previous, with previous projects. It seems overkill to me, and Axure may seem the same way. I think my biggest gripe with any of those, the technology solutions, is all of that work is really for naught. In the end, you can't repurpose it. It's great to show the client for the wireframes and all that. But it seems for me in my workflow, it's just adding another layer that I don't particularly find useful. What I do, I actually just start with a blank deck of index cards with clients. I think that that works best. There's certain things that throwing technology at, I think, just makes things more cumbersome than they need to be. So I take the index cards, we define the architecture of what the pages are, and then when it comes to making those wireframes, I tend to just do those in Photoshop. And I like to do them in Photoshop as opposed to Axure or Visio or any of those types of programs, simply because once I have that, then my job is to create the design comps, and the framework is already there in Photoshop. So it's a much smoother flow. Now, having said that, I will say that I am experimenting currently with doing what's called live wireframes, where the wireframes are actually done with just XHTML and CSS with no font choices or colors or anything like that. And the idea of that is, again, to kind of repurpose that work forward in the project. So if you're laying it out with your XHTML and CSS, you can simply use that again when it comes to actually coding the site. So you're basically starting the coding at an earlier stage. I think there's some pros and cons to that method, and I'm sure I'll be talking more about that. So I hope that answers your question. I think of those, Axure, I know a couple local companies that love it. I think that's a good way to go. I'm always looking at efficiencies, and for me, for what I'm doing with my clients, I think that tends to be a little overkill. So that is the question one from Mo in Toronto. Let's see. Second question. I hear you mention Expression Engine a lot. I'm a WordPress developer. Why do you like Expression Engine better than WordPress, particularly when WordPress is free? And this comes from Dan in Williamstown, Massachusetts. Dan, that's a very fair question, and I have nothing against WordPress at all. I will say that straight up. Actually, the site that I just mentioned, the new Miso Super site, or the revised, redesigned version, that's running on WordPress. WordPress is absolutely great if you're running a blog and maybe you have a few other pages that you need to throw up there. For that purpose, WordPress is going to fit your needs perfectly. The problem that I see with WordPress and what I do is that you're inheriting somebody else's code. In many cases, WordPress doesn't really let you start with a blank slate. And I think that's, for me, the power of Expression Engine. I am not going to be confined to anything that I do by any content management system. Expression Engine allows me to do that, to start with that blank slate. So that is my primary goal or my primary reason why I like Expression Engine. And the reality is, a lot of the projects that I'm working on, it may not be blog-based. So you could, in theory, take WordPress and make it be, you know, its own website, but then you start getting into hacking the code and changing layouts, and it's a little cumbersome. I think it's just easier to start from zero, design your whatever you want to look like in Photoshop, and then code it and pull that code into Expression Engine, and then define what's editable. It's a much easier transition. Expression Engine is also nicer for more advanced projects where WordPress kind of lacks in that regard. So yeah, WordPress is great if you're just blogging. If you're going to do a blog, I think it's a perfect tool. It is. It's open source. It's free. Expression Engine, it's a nominal charge for it, $100 or $200 if you're commercial. But yeah, I think that those are the reasons why I like Expression Engine. I don't dislike WordPress, so I don't want to convey that message. I just think for a lot of custom websites, Expression Engine just ends up being a better solution. All right, so that is my answer to your question, Dan. And finally, this question comes from Amber in New York City. Do you use any social media websites? What are your favorites and what do you recommend? I think that's a very good question, and I think social media websites are all the rage right now. Everyone's talking about them. I actually started using them seriously last June, I think it was. And at that time, I had no idea what to expect of any of them. There's a number that I still use currently. Right now, I'm using Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and I use Delicious more just for its social bookmarking. And I've done a little bit with Flickr. Of those, I find Twitter to be very useful. And I think that Facebook also is very useful. I mean, they're all very useful. It depends what you want to get out of them. Amber, if you're just looking to reconnect with old friends, Facebook's probably the answer for you. If you're looking to get the word out about what you're doing at any given moment, Twitter's probably better for you. And for those of you who don't know, Twitter is really just ask you the question, what are you doing? And you answer that in 140 characters or less. Facebook is more, it has those updates, but also has applications and things. It's a little more, I guess, robust, but sometimes even clumsy. So I like Twitter. I've used both of them and LinkedIn, like I said. They do have value. I think right now we're going through a phase where people are all trying to figure out how to make money off of these things. And we have to, I think, keep in mind that the initial intention of any social media website is to be social, to meet people. And I think I've been noticing people following me are just, it's just marketing garbage that they're throwing in their posts. And I have no use for that. I'm not so interested in that. I think people are more interested in what you are doing. And then, you know, if you want to post something about, hey, your new post or blog is up or something, that's fine. And I'll talk about that more in the future. So yes, I do use social media. I do think it has value. Twitter is my favorite. Facebook is very good. LinkedIn and Delicious. Those are the others I use. So I hope that helps and answers your question. And check it out. Everyone uses it differently and there's no rules. Just go for it and see how it goes. So that's it. That's our Q&A. And our feature today is on website marketing. So successful websites are those that have a plan. In my previous podcast episodes, I talked about the process of what goes into building a website. It's a step-by-step and very deliberate process to make sure that the finished product meets the goals of the client. Well, website marketing is very similar. Once your website launches, you need to have a plan for how you're going to drive traffic to your website. Now, some of these efforts may be built into the website itself in the form of blogs and RSS feeds. However, there are many other options available to you as a website owner, and today I'm going to touch on a number of those options. The first thing I want to talk about are free things that everyone really should be doing. So let's start with some of those obvious things, if for no other reason than that maybe they're not so obvious to everyone. So make sure that your website address is listed on all your business collateral, letterhead, invoices, fax cover sheets, envelopes, business cards, everywhere. Similarly, include your website address in any print ads, television ads, or radio spots. I worked recently with a client who spent big money on radio spots, and nowhere in them was their website mentioned. To me, that's just a big missed opportunity. You can also build an email list to your clients and customers, and even prospective clients and customers. On your website, offer a coupon or a free download or something of value in exchange for their email address. Use your domain email and all business correspondence, not you@AOL.com or you@gmail.com. Similarly, use your email signature as a marketing tool. Mention upcoming events or special offers rather than just your phone number. Make posts on blogs and forums in your field and be sure your website address is listed in your post signature. Search engines value these inbound links to your website, and it's an easy way to accomplish this. And finally, and perhaps most importantly, don't let your website become an afterthought. If you do, any marketing efforts will see diminished returns. So those are three things that everyone should be doing. And now the big one, search engine optimization. And I say big one because that's the one everyone knows. Search engine optimization, or SEO as it's commonly referred to, is the most common thing my clients ask me about with web marketing. What I stress to them and what I want to stress to you is that SEO work is not the be-all and end-all in website marketing. It is a worthwhile option to explore, but it should not be the only option you explore. And that is a common mistake many website owners make. I suspect this is the case because folks believe that SEO is a simple equation. However, contrary to what you may have been told from some perhaps less than reputable folks, there is no magic formula for getting your website placed above your competitor, unless you want to pay for placement, which we will talk about shortly. High search engine rankings are the results of three major factors. 1. Keywords in the content of your website. 2. Where those keywords are placed in your content. And 3. Inbound links to your website. Search engine optimization work generally involves identifying keywords that are worth targeting with your website, revising or adding to your content to include these keywords in prominent areas search engines pay closer attention to, and 3. Building inbound links to your website. The results of these efforts should be tracked regularly to see if your website ranks higher than it did before your efforts, and adjustments should be made on a regular basis. What I don't want to convey to you, and in fact I want to dispel, is the idea that SEO is a quick fix. It's simply not true. It is also worth noting that how a website is coded plays a significant role in search engine optimization efforts. A website built with web standards will rank higher than a comparable website built without standards. Why is that, you ask? Well, because standards mandate that content and design must be separated, and when they are separated, search engines are fed only the content of one's website, as opposed to the design elements that are included in a non-standard website. Your keywords will then have a higher keyword density, because there are far less lines of code when content and design are separated. So that's search engine optimization. The next thing we want to talk about is pay-per-click advertising. Now, if you don't have the patience for organic or non-paid search engine optimization to take effect, pay-per-click advertising is an alternative worth considering. It is much more of a quick fix, but at a cost. With pay-per-click advertising, you bid on certain keywords to show up in the results when somebody enters those keywords in a search engine. Costs associated with pay-per-click advertising will vary depending on how far up the list you want to appear and the competitiveness of the keywords you want to show up for. For example, the keyword cars will be far more competitive than Pontiac Trans Am car. I often recommend pay-per-click advertising to clients who are building a brand new website because it will take some time for a new website to show up well in organic non-paid search results. A word of caution, however, unless you have deep pockets, you don't want to become overly dependent on pay-per-click advertising. A better approach is to think of pay-per-click advertising as a supplement to organic, non-paid search engine optimization. I frequently recommend to clients using pay-per-click advertising to also work on improving their organic, non-paid search engine results with SEO at the same time. The idea is that you become less dependent on the paid ads over time and reduce your costs over the long term. Now, Google AdWords is the most popular pay-per-click advertising program today. Other search engines also have their own pay-per-click programs, and even some social media websites, Facebook for one, offers their own versions. Now, the next thing we want to talk about is email marketing. Now, I am a big fan of email marketing. I think it's a great low-cost alternative to traditional print marketing. Remember a few minutes ago when I mentioned building an email list for your business as one of the free things everyone should be doing? Well, this is why. Emails can be sent to your customers and clients, as well as prospective customers and clients, for very little cost. For clients I work with, I generally develop an HTML email template that can then be reused with each campaign they send. The results from any email campaign will largely hinge on the quality of the mailing list you are sending to. Do not buy spam lists from less than reputable outfits, but instead focus on building a quality list by asking for an email address on your website, like I had mentioned, and collecting it from any contacts or orders you receive. When it comes to sending your email campaign, you have a number of options, but they generally fall into two categories. The first is sending the message from software running on your own server, usually using a script or a content management system that has this feature built in. The second is to use a third-party service, Campaign Monitor, Constant Contact, someone like that, to send it for you. The latter will be a little more expensive, but alleviates the headaches of potentially getting your server blacklisted, rightly or wrongly, as a spammer. Unless your list is very small, I generally recommend a third-party service to my clients. Now, blogging and the RSS feed, I think those two go hand in hand. Now, as I mentioned in the opening, your website itself should be part of the marketing equation. Your website should be updated regularly with new content to keep people coming back. Blogs are a great way to accomplish this. It is also worth noting that blogging has a very positive effect on organic, non-paid search engine results. Associated with blogs are something known as RSS feeds. Basically, this is a way to syndicate your content so that anyone who wants to can subscribe to your RSS feed and get updated when you post something new in your blog. The Tunnel 7 website actually has two separate RSS feeds, one for the blog and one for the podcast. It's yet another way of getting the word out about your website. And finally, social media websites. I would be remiss if I didn't talk about social media websites. Social media websites exploded in the last half of 2008. I can't read any website-related article or listen to any website-related podcast right now without hearing folks talk about Twitter, Facebook, and the like. All of these websites allow you to build relationships with people you would not otherwise know, as well as people that you do know. Now, there is an entire industry rising around folks who exclusively do social media marketing for their clients. While it is very popular right now, and I will say that I have received leads and work as a direct result from my presence on these websites, I will caution you from getting too caught up in only relying on social media for strictly marketing purposes. Is it valuable? Absolutely. But be careful what information you post. You don't want to turn people away. People will quickly see through you if you're only using social media for marketing. Social media websites were created primarily so people could be social and interact with each other. The marketing angle, while all the rage right now, in my opinion, should really be secondary. Think of it as going to any social event, a party or whatever. Do you want to be the person trying to convince your fellow partygoers that Amway is a good idea for them? Probably not. Social media websites definitely have a role in your website marketing efforts, but use them wisely so as to encourage social interaction first. Keep the marketing angle secondary. Now, all of these efforts, regardless of what you employ in your website marketing efforts, should be tracked. And tracking your results is going to be critical. Website analytics will be your ally in figuring out what is working, what is not working, and where you need to adjust your efforts. In last month's podcast, I talked about website analytics in great detail, so I won't go into it here again. Just know that you must track the results of any website marketing efforts to determine their effectiveness. So in conclusion, building a website today is not enough. The idea of build it and they will come, unfortunately, doesn't translate so well on the web. While your website should be built with certain features that will help you with your marketing efforts, you will still need to get the word out about your website through other avenues as well. Following the advice and guidelines mentioned in this episode will make you aware of your options and get you headed in the right direction with your own website marketing efforts. And that concludes this month's feature on website marketing. And that also concludes this episode of the Tunnel 7 podcast. I hope you enjoy the show and are a little more knowledgeable than you were before we started. Now, in the next episode coming up in March, I will be discussing content management systems. As always, the Tunnel 7 podcast is sponsored by absolutely nobody, but should you feel the desire to send cash, I have no problem mentioning you here. This episode and every episode is recorded in the Tunnel 7 studio with an Audio-Technica AT2020 microphone and the Alesis Multimix USB mixer using the lovely free functional Audacity software. The song Sun Is Out by The Wig Report is used for both the intro and the outro music. For more about The Wig Report, go to myspace.com/TheWigReport with two G's in wig. For more about me or Tunnel 7, or if you have a question you would like answered on the show, you can visit tunnel7.com at any time, day or night, weekday or weekend, because, after all, that is the beauty of the internet. Thank you for listening, and until next time, enjoy!